Today's show is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at theqfilmcast.net. Just click the link in the upper right-hand corner and choose from over 150,000 titles for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. That's Audible.com.
Q.
Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside Jolly Roger Studio. This is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're listening online worldwide or perhaps nationwide, one of our affiliate stations, thank you for tuning in. If you don't yet know, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. Each week we take turns queuing up a selected title. Then we come in here, Jolly Roger Studio, and each of us tell you what we thought. Good or bad, doesn't matter, right?
That's what we do.
Otherwise, other words, we're on the front lines of Netflix Instant streaming for you.
And for you.
For you.
That's new.
And you. And you. Off the cuff. You
for
like
me?
It?
Whoa, that sounded awesome.
I didn't include you, Adam. Okay. When I said you, I was talking to him.
All right.
All right. And so this week we're queuing up the George Clooney Muted Thriller. All That's right. my tagline. I came up Muted Thriller. The American from director Anton Corbijn. I do think I'm saying that right. I'm a big fan of his too, by the way. So if you've seen it, keep listening to see if you agree or disagree. Or if not, keep listening to see if this film is something you may want to queue up yourself. That's the way the game's played. So welcome once again. Let's get into this. I am Michael, along with, as always, James Hardsub Savage.
Hardsub.
What's up, Maestro?
What's up,
Gumbo?
I'm doing my thing, man.
Where'd I go?
Wow. I'm Hoodie, by the way.
Am I even needed? I'm not
That's
doing
Adam.
So much.
Hey.
Hi, Adam.
Hi, Boy, Matt.
We talked about tightening up the intro. I didn't know we'd tighten up that much.
That's the way to tighten it up, right there. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, we're going to keep it tight and right, though. I want to do something a little proper, though. That is Matthew St. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality handcrafted Italian hoodies.
I have amazing
outerwear.
They're amazing.
Handcrafted Italian outerwear.
They're Italian.
Yeah. You look great tonight.
He's wearing a Kmart hoodie.
Buongiorno.
Max Gumbo Johnson.
I'm Cannelloni Johnson tonight.
Pass the cannelloni.
Cannelloni.
Yeah. Is that how you say it? Cannelloni?
Cannelloni.
That's how you say it.
Lasagna.
All the ladies call you that, don't they? Cannelloni Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Actually, they call me. Go ahead.
Girls never call you. Don't worry about it.
The greatest producer in the history of the Q Filmcast. I'm looking at him. Are you guys?
Nope.
That's Adam, the Bomb Rogers.
Hey,
bomb.
What's up?
The Bomb.
And
Buongiorno.
There you go, Savage.
There you go.
Wait to put in some flavor, man. He's flavoring it up. All right, guys, let's talk about how you keep up with us. You can do it any way you want to. You go into Google, you Google the Q Filmcast. It doesn't matter what you want. We're there. I would recommend you go to theqfilmcast.net.
And we're on Stitcher now.
Doesn't matter what you want. We're there, guys. Keep up with us. We love feedback. I would suggest you also try out our Android app, too. I heard that works swell.
I like it.
Swell. I want to throw a little
thanks, George McFly.
Max, you are my density.
You're my density.
Keep up with us any way you want to, but give us some feedback. Let us know how we're doing. We do like that. TheQFilmcast.net. Guys, here we are. We're going to talk about this week's show, this week's cued selection by Matthew St. Hoodie, the patron saint of handcrafted quality outerwear from Italy.
Italian. It's Italian.
Italian outerwear.
Like Armani.
I'm so excited, I just can't hide it.
Well, you're doing a pretty good job because I sense nothing. This is The American from 2010 from director Anton Corbijn, starring George Clooney. And this is our selection this week, guys, written by Martin Booth. And I think the name of the actual book was A Very Private Gentleman.
He was pretty private.
Incredibly private.
It's the worst name ever for anything. I can't believe that actually flew.
You know, I'll go with you on that, but it's a great movie poster, isn't it?
It's the best. It's orange, too. Who would have thought? Not me.
The book is orange?
God, I wish we were doing a video cast right now. His face looked fantastic. All right, let's talk about some of these players in this thing, and we're going to get into this film, guys. Let's do this right now. Anton Corbijn. What's he known for? First of all, his first film, Adam. You know what that is, don't you?
Actually.
I guess
not.
He doesn't. Geez.
Control.
I don't think that was his first film.
Knock it off. It's his first film, Control.
No.
He's actually a very famous photographer, and he's kind of a rock and roll photographer. He's been under commission by, of course, Depeche Mode, Tom Waits, Tom Petty, Bjork, Robert De Niro, Clint Eastwood, Morrissey, U2.
How does Clint Eastwood
Arcade
fall into
Fire?
This?
people love his work. I did too. Even in the 80s, I remember seeing certain albums. I'm like, there's something ingenious about this. Like the cover of the Joshua Tree album.
Okay. That's all you got to say. That's how you introduce
it. Oh, there's more, buddy.
The Unforgettable Fire. I mean, the guy's work, if as a still.
Iconic images. Yeah.
Iconic. As a still photographer, he's spot on. And also, of course, Joy Division, which he based his first film on. Yeah, Anton Corbijn. I was anxious to get to this film because of that. Stars George Clooney and the other girls.
And a bunch of other people, yeah. Actually, not that many other people. There were only. Really? If you look at the credits, there were like 25 people in the
but those not even second patron bar.
And most of those were like people, the bartender one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could talk about Violante.
Like six other people.
Yeah, really. Basically.
Also, Thelke Rubin, she was in Bruges, the assassin. You know, every film inspires a top three. This one's no different. This inspired our top three, and we're going to talk about this after the review, prostitutes in movies. You guys can call them what they want. Whoas.
Whoas. Top three whoas with a heart of gold.
Don't they all have that?
They all no, believe me, they don't.
Not always a heart.
No, they're working professionals is what they are.
Not a whoas.
There's no way I'm ever calling them working professionals. I can't believe I'm still talking in this accent.
Profession ever.
Let's talk about ratings on this film. Before we get into ours, let's talk about what everybody else said, okay? IMDb gave this a 6.3.
Low. Wrong.
You know, this is a very – this film, if I looked into it, and I did quite a bit, there's a group and a core that love this film.
Yeah.
And many people that just walked out because they think they were getting something else.
Yeah.
It's because the movie poster was wrong,
but awesome.
There's a lot wrong.
Rotten Tomatoes, critics give it a 66. Users, man, throw this one in the disposal.
What is it, 38?
38, yeah.
What?
Whoa.
But there is that core fan base, so we'll see if we fall in the line.
Critics are wrong, users are wrong.
We'll see what happens.
Because users are losers.
Users are...
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to sit and laugh and listen to Savage.
Right.
All right, let's get into a little bit of synopsis on this one, and then we'll take a break, go to a trailer. We're going to come back and tell you what we thought, okay? Either our fruit stinks or it's pretty fresh. We don't
know. Our fruit stinks.
All right, here's what you have, guys. George Clooney stars in the title role of this suspense thriller as an American assassin living abroad. Jack, or Edward, is constantly on the move and always alone. After a job in Sweden ends more harshly than expected, he retreats to the Italian countryside where he relishes being away from his overly taxing existence. As he holes up in a small medieval town, Jack is asked to take on an assignment to construct a weapon for a mysterious contact, Mathilda. Savoring the peaceful quietude he finds in the mountains of Abruzzo, Jack accepts the friendship of a local priest, Father Bendento, and pursues a torrid liaison with a beautiful woman, Clara. Jack and Clara's time together evolves into a romance, one seemingly free of danger. But by stepping out of the shadows, Jack may be tempting fate, and his desire to live out his days in peace may be shorter than he wanted. That is the film The American 2010. Let's listen to a piece. What do you say?
I say great. I say law.
I say, oh, Lord. Here's a piece from The American.
Hello? It's Jack. I want out.
Consider it your last job.
You don't even have to pull the trigger.
You're an American.
Let's say, a working vacation.
You have the hands of a craftsman. You are good with machines.
I do have a good head.
The Belgians think someone might have put a tail on you.
You've got a long list of enemies, Jack.
I told them no one gets close to you.
They don't.
You're a good man, but you have a secret.
You have done much sinning.
All men are sinners. Everything I've done, I've had good cause to do.
Okay, guys, there you go. There's a piece from The American 2010, followed up by our top three movie prostitutes.
Who was?
Really? It's going to be this all night, right?
Yeah,
it's
who was. Okay. All right, guys, before we get into our ratings, let's talk about a little bit of Did You Know?
All right.
A little bit of fact about this film. You ready, Savage?
Sure.
What about you there, producer?
Why not?
Let's do this. Did you know the reason why George Clooney's character chews gum a lot in this film is because the character simply doesn't have a lot of dialogue? Did you notice that? So the director, Anton Corbijn, wanted Clooney's face to not be completely static. That's what that was. Okay. Also, another reference to spaghetti westerns is Clint Eastwood, also a strong silent character, would often be chewing tobacco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh, I didn't get that.
But tobacco is wacko, so they changed it to gum.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Check this out. This one made me go, say what? Violante Placidio is the daughter of Simonetta Stefanelli.
Yeah, of course she is.
Do you remember The Godfather, Apollonia, when he went to Italy?
When he went to hide out in Italy, that was the girl that played the girl in The Godfather is that girl's
mother.
Mother.
Yeah, the girl that got blown up in The Godfather, Michael Corleone's
wife.
Well, it was his
eventual wife. Right. Eventual wife. Yeah.
He was engaged to her in Italy. Yeah. The classic scene. You remember?
Yeah, so confused. Yeah. No, I remember that.
That's this girl's mother.
Yep.
Wow. And my God, I went back and see what I did. I looked at a picture of both of them online. They looked the exact same.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
Both hot.
Yeah. There's no Maury Povich needed here. This is they're related.
No Maury Povich.
Never mind.
I get it.
Yeah. The tattoo on Jack's right shoulder reads "Ex Gladio Equitis," which translates as "Justice from the Sword." It's a motto from an Assassin's Creed.
I never played that game.
That's a Special Forces tattoo.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Basically.
I never could make it out.
I got that from Tropic Thunder.
Ooh. Tropic Thunder from Down Under. Being a celebrated stills photographer, Anton Corbin was constantly taking pictures during the shoot. These were ultimately presented, and I'm going to buy this thing maybe, in his book, Inside the American. It's going to be beautiful.
It's a good
currency.
Title, too.
Currency, because we don't do stars, do we, Hoodie?
No, stupid.
We don't do thumbs up and thumbs down. We let the film tell us what we want to do.
Right.
This is no different. What's it going with today? What's our currency for this film, The American?
Something about Americana. Cafe Americana or something.
Cafe Americana.
Cafe Americano.
Cafe Americana. Right. Gracias.
No.
Yeah. If you were in France, you'd want to know what the soup du jour was, right?
The soup du jour.
I'll have the soup du jour.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Cafe Americanos. That's what we're going to rate with here. 1 through 10. And how we typically do this, I don't want to be untypical. I'm going to do it the way we've been doing it.
Not stupidly.
And that is Matt St. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality, handcrafted Italian outerwear. I'm going to start with you because you queued this up. This is a hoodie pick. 1 through 10, Cafe Americanos, The American, 2010. Give it to me.
I have a lot to say about this movie, but I'm not going to say it just yet. I'm just going to say that it's a 10.
What?
Boom.
Boom.
Wow.
Drop it. Okay.
He did that.
He did. Dropped it like it was hot. You roofed out on me. 10.
I roofed out.
He raised the roof. Max, do they have gumbo in Italy?
They call it gazpacho.
That's
or
not
something.
Gumbo.
That's not even Italian, is it? I don't think so.
Yes, it is.
Is it? Okay, yeah. They call it gazpacho.
Whatever. It's cold tomato soup.
That's
what it is.
Exactly. That's right.
Right.
That's right. It is. It's cold tomato soup. Gestapo. Yeah.
Gestapo.
That's
Gestapo.
That's a different thing.
Nazi.
Italian as well.
Sorry.
That's German, buddy.
Gazpacho. Whatever. All right, Max, 1 through 10, Cafe Americanos.
He says a 10.
Unleash. What is it?
I'm not going to 10, but I will go a 9, Cafe Americanos.
Oh, forget about it. I'll bring you up.
There's a couple of things that brought this down from a 10, because this was a great movie.
Yeah. Wow, that's really interesting.
I really, really like this movie.
I think I'm going to go. I like to go last, because I like to just go last. I'm going to go over to Savage.
Go to Bomb.
Adam Bomb.
Oh.
Adam Bomb. 1 through 10, Cafe Americanos.
I'm going to say 7.
I can hear it coming.
This movie was boring.
Wow, I thought he would go a little higher than that.
All right.
2.
This spachi considero questo on this season.
Oh, really? Okay.
He is slightly Italian, by the way. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, well.
I'm sorry, but I give this a 10.
Whoa!
I can't believe it.
That is the first 10 I think Adam has ever given.
No.
Harold, my bad. Oh, well, Harold and Maude is a stupid movie.
That is interesting to me.
I'm amazed. I'm
not important. Keep going.
Well, it's his Italian roots coming through. Let's go over to James Hardsub Savage. You know what the currency is. It's a Cafe Americano.
Yeah.
How many are you going to load up?
Let's give it the love. I'm a 9 as well.
Okay.
Holy smokes.
This thing is smoking.
Uh-oh. I swear to God, Michael, if you bring this down,
bring
I will
down,
come across
Maestro.
This table so fast.
Let me tell you what. Let me tell you something here.
Oh.
Quickly.
God.
Come on. Just come on.
Call in the mafia. Get rid of him.
I'm not joking.
Put some cement
boots
on
him. I'll go in that corner. This is a 10.
Mm.
Boom!
Ooh. Okay. Look at that.
This thing purred like the engine of a fine automobile from start to finish. I'm going to leave it there.
Like a Maserati?
This might be the highest movie we've ever
it,
reviewed.
It is the highest.
This is
highest
like a 58.
Movie.
Yeah. And the fact
you don't
that,
have to add it. It is a 58.
And the fact that the hard lines
well,
are drawn.
I like it's to a 48.
I like to add.
It's a 48.
Use that math.
Wow. You know what's great about this show? We sit back. We kind of look at each other suspiciously across the table going, okay, am I alone or am I on board?
Yeah.
I didn't know this would happen. I've watched this movie 3 times. I've watched it every day since the first time I watched it. And I feel sorry for the people that walked out of this thing because there were a bunch. And there's hard lines drawn. You loved it. You hated it. Man, we're team players.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm a soft 9. I could be a 10 on this.
You better be.
Yeah.
This is better be. I mean,
take some Viagra.
Some Viagra.
Viagra.
This one astonished me. I didn't really realize I would get there that quick with this film. All right, so you want to get into ratings now? I mean, not ratings, but reviews?
Let's do ratings again, because I really enjoyed that.
All right, guys, we're talking about the 2010 film, The American, directed by Anton Corbijn. Hoodie.
Hey.
You've got the floor here. You gave this as high as you want to go, as did I, as did a couple other guys. Talk to me about this film.
Okay. From the first time I saw this, this has been one of my favorite movies. And this is one of those movies that it's very, I don't know, like you said, I don't know why so many people walked out on this. It's very honest right from the get-go, exactly what it's about. You talked about the advertising for it or the, that doesn't matter.
No, it was presented wrong, for sure.
And that's kind of the lore of this film, too. It, yeah. Yeah.
Totally marketed. Incredibly
Which adds
poorly.
To its it adds to its charm.
I don't know if it adds to its charm. I think it creates a mythos behind it that Good this word. Is the movie that nobody saw, that everybody should have seen, but nobody saw because it was just presented in such the wrong way.
And it was marketed wrong.
Then when they went to see it, they were like, this is not the movie. I was waiting for Jason Bourne to pop out.
That's exactly right.
And it didn't happen.
Yeah. It would have killed it if it was like that.
No, it would have just been a different film.
It'd just been a different movie, yeah. Yeah.
Totally it would have been a Bourne film.
I've never looked at reviews on a film and see so many hard lines drawn. I mean, there are people that champion this film, and there are people that despise this
film. They vilify it. Yeah.
But you know what? That does add to the character of what this film was about. It wanted to be different. It wanted to make you think. It wanted to make you reach, and this one did. Max Gumbo Johnson, talk a little bit. What is it that made you go high up the ladder on this one?
I'll tell you what I really liked, really, really liked about this movie. It harkened back to some of the greater golden age 70s films where, you know, it didn't have to have all these guns and explosions and high action chases and this and that and stuff just going on constantly. It was more of a character study than it was a spy thriller or an espionage film.
Right.
But it compared favorably to a lot of the films from that era, like was the one with James Caan, Thief.
Yeah.
7 Days of the Condor, The Conversation.
Yeah,
the
good Coppola film. Good point there, 7 Days of the Condor. Yeah.
It favored very well to those films. It was methodical, it was slow, and it was an incredibly simple story.
Yeah.
I mean, it was basically a guy. He was either a gun runner or an assassin. They never really made it clear.
He's an assassin.
He could have been both.
No, he's an assassin. No,
because
they
said,
made it very clear.
I've watched this like 20
okay,
times.
Well, then I've only seen it once. Maybe I'll have to watch it again. Right. But either way, I mean, his whole mission basically in this movie was to build a gun for this woman to assassinate somebody else. That was basically the story.
Yeah.
Right.
And to take that whole premise and make an hour and 45-minute movie out of it and keep your attention built through that whole thing and keep you involved in that at that slow a pace and have enough to keep you going and interested in the thing is awesome.
That's
crazy. Magnificent. Awesome that they could do that.
It's magnificent. No
and to have
it.
No real quote-unquote action scenes or high drama or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, but there was that there.
There wasn't. There was some drama in it. There were some relationships, but it wasn't anything that was just mind blowing. You had to go like, oh my god, I can't. What's going to happen between this one and that one? And what's going to do this? Right. What's going to happen here? It all just happened sort of naturally. It just kind of flowed over the hour and 45 minutes.
Yep.
And I like that kind of filmmaking. And it also, it brought up questions through the whole movie, like, okay, what's the significance of this? What's the significance of that? I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I wish I would like to see more of that, but unfortunately that just doesn't
And I'm gonna talk a minute in a little bit here when I give my rendition about what took me out of the film, which I'm only going to split hairs. There wasn't much.
There was a couple of little things.
Things, but its basic overall formula was spot on. Hoodie, what do you got?
No, I just wanted to add to what Max was saying with the pace of the movie being, he said it was a little bit slow, which I completely agree. I tend to gravitate.
And real quick, just not to interrupt, but I don't mean slow in a bad way.
No, it's deliberate.
It was absolutely deliberate.
Purposeful.
Slow in a refreshing way.
But everything you needed to know about this movie was written all over George Clooney's face for an hour and a half. You literally could, as little dialogue as there was in this movie, you could have had less and just looked at his expressions and known exactly what was going on. And that was one of the biggest draws to this movie was just Clooney. He nailed this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm glad he
killed this.
And I don't know if this really, I've always been a marginal Clooney fan. I thought it was, a lot of times his performances are Clooney being Clooney.
I like old Clooney.
This was Clooney's opus.
This is
to
middle
me.
Clooney.
Wait, old Clooney as in older Clooney or old Clooney as in he's older now?
He's older now, Clooney, not like ER Clooney.
You're not talking like Aunt Roseanne Clooney.
Right. I'm talking like gray hair Clooney.
That's alive Clooney, by the way.
What about you? I'm sorry, Putty. What else you got? Keep going.
No. There's a lot that goes into this movie that I think that all of us kind of got that I'd like to get into. I don't know if now is the place. But
it is hard
we'll
because
there.
There's so much I want to talk about. I don't know what bite to take first.
Right. Let's just jump into this. The one thing that I really liked about this movie, speaking of George Clooney's facial expressions and just the lack of dialogue, was the director's ability to build the tension. And he did that by, all the townspeople, number one, the guy riding the bike, the guy in the light blue sweater. You never really knew who was out to get Clooney Mr. Butterfly, mm-hmm. but you knew that something was bad. And through the whole movie, as slow as it is, this guy was never out of danger for a second that this camera was rolling, ever. No. He was always in danger. And as an audience, I found myself looking at the background almost as much as I was looking at the main character just to find out who was going to actually kill this guy. Mm-hmm. So, and the director did a really nice job of putting the little action sequences almost just perfectly right in sync with the story so that I didn't lose any interest at all. And I always felt that element of danger through the whole thing.
Before I go over to Savage, or maybe Adam, I'm not sure. Before I go into that, I want to talk about danger a minute here, because you talk about the danger on the outside. What I loved about this film was the danger on the inside. He was in danger of giving himself emotionally to someone, of giving himself and unveiling himself as a real person coming out from behind his wall. There was danger inside and outside. This thing was nothing but tension, to me anyways. Yeah, when you talk about danger, it was throughout the entire film inside and out.
There was no overarching theme with that. No.
Right, but that started when he went to the initial town. Well, I mean, first off, you see in the opening scene, which is my favorite part of the whole movie.
That's a gut punch, isn't it?
Right. One of the things that I really enjoyed about this, that the director, I guess, it opens up on the woods, snow, quiet, still. That's Clooney.
And gorgeous.
That's Clooney.
Right.
Sorry.
But the scenery really
is Clooney. Yeah.
It echoes the main character that we're looking at through the whole thing. Even when he goes to the first town.
Yeah. Stone, gray, isolated, still.
What he needs is people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He won't admit to it because he's that kind of guy. He gets out of the car, looks around, says, I'm not going to meet anybody interesting here. Throws his cell phone over the bridge, goes to the town where maybe he's going to meet somebody. So as in his old age, he's been an assassin. He's done all the cool stuff that he thought that this job would hold. It's kind of become every day to him.
Yeah.
Now he's going to. Now he's like, okay, all right. I need, I need more in my life.
Yeah.
So he goes to this.
who's
in Castle Delmont?
Yeah.
Right. So the only reason he goes there is just to meet people. That's it. Yeah. He wants to be around people. He doesn't know how to talk to them. He doesn't know how to interact. He just wants to be around something.
Yeah. This is a man whose job has chipped away at his life so much there's only a stub left at this point. Yeah.
And now look at Clara. That's the same person.
It's the same person. You know who's even more the same person than him? Two very good performances. Both the females in this thing was fantastic. The other assassin, and I can get into some of these details later, but they were the same person. If you look at them on the picnic blanket, they were the same person. They wanted the same thing. She let her guard down and wanted to be removed from this life just like him.
Right.
That mirrored image of each other, her and him, played in three different scenes perfectly. There was tension there because they understood where each other was.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those were great scenes. My favorite scenes, as much as I love the Claire scenes, were between him and the other assassin.
I agree.
I'm talking sitting at the edge of my seat, literally waiting to see what the next scene was.
Yeah.
The next frame was between these two.
And some of them were silent.
What about you, Savage? You went way high up the scale, too, and I'm glad you did. I thought this might be in your wheelhouse. What do you got?
Well, and I could probably go to a 10. I mean, the knock on this film is that, and I said it last week when the reveal was, is like, oh, it's a slow burn. That's always been the thing. This is slow. It's slow. But then if you figure there's a car chase, five assassination attempts on the Clooney character, a femme fatale who isn't all she appears to be, a suspenseful foot pursuit through narrow maze of streets with two professional hitmen trying to outwit and kill one another, a steamy sex scene, a face-to-face showdown, and a seven-person body count, which is more than the Bourne ultimatum, you wouldn't think that that's a slow movie.
No, you wouldn't.
But it is.
But all of that happened within the confines of this film. And it's still considered a slow movie. When I saw it originally, that's what I remembered, it's being slow. But when I watched it this time, it's not slow.
No, it's not.
It's It is beautiful. This is a still photographer making a film.
Right.
And each frame can be taken as a still photograph and framed.
Which is why I say the reason there needs to be a book about this of just these stills is because they are that good.
Yeah. It is a beautiful movie.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's purposeful, it's intentional, it's exquisite, and it's somber. Every scene in this, and there's none of this MTV 1 minute or 1 second cut thing. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to the mismarketing of it. And we can all agree because it was only 2010. We know how it was marketed. It was marketed as George Clooney is Jason Bourne. Which this is not. If you think this is what this is not what this is. The beauty in this lies within the one sentence where he meets the priest, where the priest says, "You think you can escape history.
Right.
You're American. Mm-hmm. You live in the present."
Yeah.
This movie is about living in the present.
Absolutely.
This is a complete present movie. It is like a now thing. This isn't looking forward, because the minute the Clooney character starts to look forward, bad things happen. Mm-hmm.
And that's an angle I hadn't approached. That is a great angle on this film. That line in particular.
Yeah.
Does set a certain tone as to what this guy is.
What the movie is.
What this guy's viewpoint is. And I didn't think about that. Another great point.
You also have Mr. Butterfly and Clara that are both trying to get away from their past, their history.
Right.
So you have that juxtaposition, and I love that word.
Especially, you use it well.
It's true. It's the juxtaposition of him living in his present, trying to get away from his past. Mm-hmm. Every character in this movie is doing the same thing.
And there's a common thread between all these people. I don't think any of these people wanted to be where they were. I think even the guy in the end, his boss, he was kind of like, "I want to wrap this thing up and get on with some peaceful living here." You sense that from everybody.
I didn't get that from the
Craggle Face.
I don't think he was loving his job. He didn't act like a guy who loved what he was doing.
He was committed to it.
The guy that wanted to be old Tony from The Professional.
Yeah. We hadn't talked to the producer. You gave this a 9.
Damn, a 10.
Surprised.
I gave it a 10.
Oh, forgive me.
I'm shocked. I can't believe this
I can't
happened.
Believe it either.
My American sensibilities got the best of me.
I am flabbergasted.
Talk to me, man. What is it that kind of put this to the ceiling for you? What is it?
Did you think it was funny?
No.
Okay.
No. Seriously, this whole movie is based around a director. There's no one else that could actually make this movie, I don't think, other than the director.
Yeah.
This guy, when I'm looking him up, has made pretty much every...
He's made every Depeche Mode video.
He's made every single video I've ever loved.
He
has made every single album cover I've ever loved. He has shot every single band that I've ever loved.
Yeah.
He is this God to me. I didn't realize who this guy really was.
He's a visionary.
Adam's actually tearing up a little bit right now.
This is when he was making this movie. He has set the camera down and shot it like just a still shot.
It's framed. Every shot is framed.
Yeah. Absolutely,
and
it is.
I think you're right. Everybody showed up on the set going, "This is Anton's project.
Yeah,
we're going to follow his lead." And it's funny because even going back to the Joshua Tree album cover, there's something about the guy's work where he's able to capture an essence.
Yeah.
Of what this moment is.
Yeah.
And I think that's what this film is. It's just endless great moments.
Yeah. Well, nobody knew what a Joshua Tree was before that photograph.
No.
But and that album.
You go back to the people that have said.
Props to you, too, for making great music.
Go look into this guy's work.
Back then,
Everybody from Iggy Pop to Frank Zappa to Robert De Niro.
Nick Cave, Bad Seeds.
Everybody said this is the
Tom
best.
Tom Waits.
Yeah. Everybody has said this is the best photographer I've ever worked with. This guy is a true, he has a love of the camera. For him to take on the idea of, "I'm going to make films now," this is a pretty good start for him. Let me tell you what I thought of this film. First of all, I brought up the fine automobile thing. That's the way it is. But the thing I loved is, just like a fine automobile, you don't need to know what's underneath the hood to know it's purring like that. That's the way this film is. Everything was under the hood. It didn't show it to me, but I knew it was there. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's so strong. The scale of the thing, the perfection in its design, the patience it has, the way it's brought to you. I'm just going to say beauty. And whether you love this type of thing or not, this is a very different approach to telling this story. This story's been told before, but not in this regard, not in this way.
Yeah.
It's very internal. It's minimal in ways that you aren't used to.
Yeah.
I wasn't used to this. This was a unique experience to me. But all of those things are perfect here, and they're completely refreshing. If I had to use one word here, it's refreshing. I was glad that I was able to see something that was from an angle I hadn't seen before. It wasn't just internal as in, "I wonder what the guy's thinking." That internal was turned inside out, brought to the surface, and it enthralled me. But, you know, I never found this thing slow for a second. I was captured, and the minimal approach really worked. Actually punched this thing along, right? It almost gave me a sense of heightened awareness, like when he first gets into town.
Right,
he meets with the stairs. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I know exactly what those eyes were telling me. I didn't want any more than that. And that's the thing. People keep saying, well, it's so minimal. But I didn't want any more than what it was giving me.
Right.
The movie's filled with endless examples of this. And the little that I can nitpick of this film actually ended up charming me quite a bit. Clooney was terrific. He nailed it. The screen presence was dynamic, as were all the performances, I thought. That was really the thing that glossed it over for me, were the performances. The final thing that rounded it out for me was the relationship. I kept waiting for that thing to fall to pieces. Didn't. Worked. It completely worked for me.
They're going to be together forever.
Well, and
forever.
It's,
like Rick and Rachel.
Forever, ever?
Like Luke and Laura. Runner.
The more I get into this movie review thing with you guys, I've learned a word, a trope.
Yeah, were some tropes.
There's some tropes. The last job trope,
right?
And it's the kind-hearted prostitute trope. I mean, these are cliches that we've seen. These are plot devices that we've seen that this film has,
right?
But they didn't feel that way.
No, they didn't feel that way at all.
And it's, and I go back to you say refreshing, and I say deliberate.
Right.
These are purposeful, intentional, deliberate things.
Yeah, you brought up that word a few times. Yeah,
and it's completely like immersed in the present. Mm-hmm. And there's symbolism. There's color symbolism with the Clooney character, where at the beginning in Sweden, where it's gray and white and cold and hard in its way.
Yeah.
Ruthless.
Yeah. And then when he chooses the town, whenever he's alone in this film, when you watch, whenever Clooney is alone, he is surrounded by impermeable hard substances. But whenever he's interacting with people, all of a sudden all the textures change.
Yeah, sure. It's fluid. There's a tree. There's a butterfly.
Exactly. Or silk.
Well, this film is full of little nods and little
things. Oh, absolutely.
And I want to talk about, let's stop right here. Let's talk after we come back from this clip. We're going to listen to a little piece of The American from director Anton Corbijn. We'll come back and talk about that in a second.
Come on.
What's going on? You have a gun? Where would you have a gun? Derek!
Okay, so there you go. There's a piece from the 2010 film, The American. We're going to talk about some scenes, some things we got to talk about. I'm going to start this one off. You know what I got to talk about?
Tell us.
I got to talk about that fantastic hook, the opening scene. It sets it up to where it's a typical espionage spy assassin film. The whole film's going to be about who's after this guy.
Right.
What's this guy's problem? What danger is he in? When you pull into that great shot where it's almost like a glacier moving into that cabin, it doesn't lie to you. This is going to be a slow, methodical film.
They established the hell out of that.
If you don't, if you don't know what kind of movie this is going to be, you didn't see the very beginning.
I actually wrote down that this is the most honest movie you will ever see, because in the first 2 minutes, it tells you everything you need to know about it.
That's why I got to talk about it, because this
absolutely
is an honest film.
Great.
It's like, okay, people, leave now. You're not getting Jason Bourne.
Right.
But what I loved about this scene was they're walking through the frozen lake. This is pre-credit, by the way.
Yeah.
You're set up for, okay, this film's going to be about who's trying to kill this guy. No, no, no. This scene turns dramatically into, who is this guy? I don't want to spoil it.
Well,
but
no. He reveals himself through his landscape through the whole movie.
Yeah.
This landscape, woods, you're cold, you're harsh, ruthless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so
and you're running out of time.
And silent.
So the whole thing, I mean, it was obvious that he had affection for this girl. It didn't rise above affection. And he had no problem putting a bullet in her back.
I mean, none whatsoever.
I think that was the head.
Yeah, and for me, that's what was fascinating. I'm like, you're doing something special here, because my whole idea of this film has just changed instantly, and I hadn't seen the words "The American" come across the screen.
Yeah.
In 2 minutes.
That is a great scene. For me, I'm done, though. That was the thing I had to talk about. Max, what do you say?
Real quick, before we get too far into this, when you say he had no problem putting a bullet in that girl's head, that's what drove his whole change through the middle of the film, was he was starting to have nightmares about having to kill that girl.
Yeah, he did.
No,
he totally regretted having to kill that girl.
He
It drove him insane.
But it was instinctual, too.
No, but he was also not a... In the first scene of the movie, you open up on the woods and you go to the cabin and you see this old man with a beard sitting with a woman.
Yeah.
And Clooney looks more old in that scene than he looks through the whole movie.
Yeah.
So you know that you have an old,
Warren's soul
mature
sitting there, right?
Yeah,
right off the bat, that this guy.
Well, I think he knows what he's got to do. What he's got
to
do.
Not that, but I mean, he also has to connect with somebody. He hasn't connected with anybody in his whole life, literally his whole life, because his job has taken him out of that. And even his, I'm going to call him a handler. I don't know what his tag is.
Yeah, what is that guy?
His boss.
His pimp. He says, you know, don't make friends, Jack. You're losing your edge. Don't make friends. So Jack is reaching out, looking for this connection that he's missed for the first 50 years of his life. And he, you know, in the first relationship that he makes a connection, he falls back on what he knows, puts a bullet in the back of her head. The second time this happens, he's not able to do it.
And you know what I liked about this, too? The whole thing is about how this guy, nothing is of a fear of this guy. This guy is strong. Nothing gets into this guy. He has no weakness. In the end, his weakness is love. Yeah. He can't resist love.
In the end, his weakness is to have a life.
Yeah.
And that goes back to what I said, you know, early in the show. This guy needs to get Tony from The Professional to be his handler. Because, I mean, that was sort of the same thing that came up with The Professional. They said, what's going on? And I actually thought about that while I was watching this. I thought about The Professional with Tony going back to saying to Leon, so what is it? What is it, a woman? What have I told you, Leon? Don't get involved with women.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, the same thing's happened here. This guy's getting involved with a woman.
Right.
And here this guy's saying, you know, what, you want to get out now? And then he makes the phone call right after he says, I want out. I'm like, okay, I know what's going on here. They're trying to dump this guy.
What do you think about the relationships? I'm going to ask Savage's question. To me, that was something that I thought would maybe fall apart on me.
Mm-hmm.
It held it together. I liked this relationship between Clara. What did you think of this?
Well, she was beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And her full glory. So awesome. Which she spent much of the film in her full, wondrous glory.
This is one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen in my
she's
life.
She's beautiful.
Forever, ever?
But,
forever, ever.
No, the relationship sold because, again, this film, I mean, it hinged around being in the now. There was no backstory. There's no details of who this guy was or what. I mean, we're not giving anything other than that one throwaway line from his handler.
Which works so well in this film.
Yeah. It was the one throwaway line from the handler that said, you used to know that.
Who was the girl?
A friend.
A friend?
She had nothing to do with it.
Pity. You can't stay here. I've made arrangements for you to leave town while I sort this out. I've marked a small town on the map. Castelvecchio. Don't talk to anyone. And above all, don't make any friends, Jack. You used to know that.
That's the only history that we're ever given about this guy.
Yeah.
Maybe the tattoo. Yeah. Maybe the tattoo is like
special forces and a butterfly. Forces.
That was the worst tramp stamp ever. Yeah. I'm gonna have to say that.
Well,
that's the only thing. If I were to give this like a 9-point something, I would have given it a 9.8 because that was the worst tattoo I've ever.
But it was
seen.
On his.
Are
back,
you talking about on Clooney?
Not on his butt.
Yes,
it's not where your butterfly tattoo is on your butt.
Yeah.
This was on his back.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
You gotta get
it's
a butterfly on your butt.
Pretty.
I liked where Savage was going.
Right.
But yeah, that was the worst tattoo ever.
No, Adam. It wasn't the worst.
You know, it was necessary, and it had to be harsh, too.
I hated that tattoo. That's the only thing that withdrew me from this whole movie.
The relationship was important. The relationship with Clara was important because it was about the now. It was about his pleasure, and he even said that. I don't come here to give pleasure. I come here to get it. And there was some pretty intense, the one pretty intense sex scene. But as long as he was in that relationship just as a satisfaction of the now, it was fine. The moment it turned into maybe this could be something in the future is when it jumped the rails and it became a dangerous thing for
him. Yeah, and the danger here was what is he going to do with what's left of his life?
Yeah.
The danger here wasn't always what's around the corner. It's what's inside. Can I ask I'm going to throw this out here real quick, then I'm done, I promise. But that scene here where you're talking about Clara, where he's in there for that first time, where you really introduce their chemistry.
Yeah.
Before that is the one scene that everybody online says they hate, and that's the gun scene.
The gun nerd
scene. No.
Scene.
Where he's putting the gun together. If you look at that scene, the way it's so hard and harsh, and he's almost making love to this thing.
Who hates that?
How a lot of people, if you look online,
it's a typical gun. Why would you build this gun? This is a gun you can buy in any flea market.
No, it's not.
It's not.
No,
what I'm saying is that scene. scene where people say, it's so boring. He's sitting there twirling this gun around. He's trying to manufacture.
That's boring.
No, that's the silencer he's making.
That's the knock. But
what are we talking about?
Let me tell you what we're talking
about. Putting the gun together.
When he's putting that gun together, and in that scene, he's taking the hammer, and you can see the tension in his face, and he hits it, and he puts his stamp on it. If you look at that scene, it immediately follows up with the scene of him and Clara. It's the same scene. He's touching her the same way. He's going over, his hands are riding over her body the same way.
Because he's skillful like that. It's Mr. Whatever. Clooney, Mr. Skillful.
All right, Max, what do you got to talk about here on this film? Anything else you want to add?
I'll tell you a couple things. As much as I like this movie, there's a couple things that kept me from a 10. As meticulously researched as it seems that this guy that wrote the book or did the screenplay did, they screwed up a couple things in the ballistics area. And this is a guy, basically, this movie is about a guy building a gun. That's basically the story.
And we're talking about the 2010 film, The American, by the way.
And they got some gun stuff wrong.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, they did. I mean, that scene where they go out and actually shoot the gun, and she says, well, what's the velocity? And he says, well, it's 360 miles per hour. 360 miles per hour. You should have said 360 feet per second.
Do we really care?
Yeah.
Do we care?
Come on, Max.
Come on, man.
Do you know how fast 360 miles per hour
does
is?
Does that affect versus your essence of this film? How it, you felt
it,
about this
it,
film?
It does.
I'm okay with
it. It does to me. They detail this thing so much. There's a huge difference between 360.
I don't understand. How does that affect the heart of this film? How does that affect
I'm actually with
because it makes a difference. I
want to go on record. It's like, you better be careful what you're saying, because 360 miles an hour for a bullet is not fast.
That's incredibly fast.
It's not. Break it down.
Okay.
60 miles
a minute.
Hold on.
It's not.
Velocity of a bullet is measured in feet per second. That is a huge mistake.
I don't care. That does not affect me at all.
No, I'm going to back him up on this.
You don't get my point.
This is not a manual. This is a movie.
And that is a huge mistake for something like a gun. There were several ballistics mistakes like that in the movie that if they had done 2 seconds of research, they would have fixed. Yeah. That is an enormous mistake.
Okay, how about this? Did he come across as a professional gunsmith?
Thank you.
It's an enormous mistake.
An average miles per hour for a bullet is 681.8 miles.
Let's talk about butterflies.
Yeah, let's talk about something else. That's crazy.
No, come on. Is the whole story about the velocity of a bullet?
No, but the whole story is about a guy building a gun for an assassination.
No, it's not. No. This movie's about what's internally in this guy, the struggle
hold on. Stop.
No.
The basic story of this film, the narrative plot of this film, is about a guy building a gun for an assassination attempt. Agreed?
This film is about someone at the end of their life, and what are they going to do with the consequences of their decisions?
You're completely missing my point.
Right. I'm sitting so close to him that I can hit him.
But it is a knock on the film, because there's also a thing where she adjusts the sights. Instead of windage and direction, she adjusts
the
right.
The top instead
and
of the
these
right.
These are simple things.
Who cares?
Gun nerds care. The fact that we even know that that's a thing.
It makes a point.
It's a thing.
I
want to go on record to say if that's why Max gave it a 9, I'm going to a 10.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's absurd.
Because
to
that's fine. That's crazy.
This film is about heart. It's about character. It's about internal. It's about trying to figure out who you are at the very end of your life. And for you to knock it because of a detail doesn't make sense.
I do.
Okay.
Take a point off of that. Yeah.
That's not something I'll agree with, but who am I?
Let's talk about butterflies.
Let's talk about butterflies.
And by the way, we're talking about the 2010 film, The American, which we all loved except...
Mother Puss Bucket.
What did you guys think of the ending? Some people loved it. Some people did not.
It established early on with the thing with the other assassin, the gray butterfly landed on her, and he said... It's endangered. And it wasn't a colorful butterfly. It was a gray winged butterfly. White, gray.
You and your technicalities.
There's a little bit difference.
No, but the butterfly was symbolic of himself. He looks at the butterfly. He says, that's endangered.
Yes.
The endangered butterfly is himself. In the last scene, the butterfly flies up through the air. Yep. The butterfly is his soul. That's that.
At the end of this guy's life, he was like, oh, crap. I have very little time left. Desperation. It was palatable. And I got to give a nod to Clooney's performance here, man. I mean, this is a tough one to pull off. I want you to act without saying something. I want you to be somebody with no backstory.
Perfect. It was perfect.
I want you to put out to the audience desperation without really showing any emotion. This was a fantastic performance.
Also to ask for menace and intimidation and resilience, all these things he showed silently and with great nuance.
Yeah.
There was nothing heavy-handed with his performance in any way. This was a tour de force by Clooney. I think I read somewhere there's like only 500 lines in this entire film.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's not much, yeah.
There's not a lot of talking.
But all the emotion that was ever put on his face is interpreted by the audience. So every mistrust that he has of every secondary character in this movie, even the guy on the bike.
Yeah.
I was looking at the guy on the bike saying, this guy might be a player in the murder of Mr. Clooney. And the guy in the blue sweater, I was like, this guy might be a murderer.
Or the first time you see the other assassin, you think he's going to hit on this girl because she's free of this life.
And right. So everybody,
and she ends up being an assassin.
And just the way that Clooney is looking around the scene, I am suspect of everybody acting in this movie.
All right, guys, we got to wrap this thing up.
The whole thing was drenched in paranoia.
It was very, very paranoid.
Well, it's drenched in the now. What's going on now? And he's always
looking. Call it paranoia.
The one thing I want to add to this is that the last scene where this one little butterfly is flying up to the air.
His soul.
In my heart, I truly hope that this was an accident.
What do you mean an accident? That was a digital butterfly.
I hope not.
It absolutely was, buddy.
An accident. What are you talking about?
Like the photographer caught it, and it was this accidental.
No, that was a CGI.
That wasn't just like, wow.
Every shot of the butterfly was CG'd. That's it.
That was perfect.
Don't take his dreams. Don't take his dreams.
Sorry. I pray that it was an accident.
Oh, come on. The butterfly was Clooney.
That was like
the perfect
ending of a movie.
If you look at the script, in the final page it says, butterfly floats up. Trust me.
Yeah.
Okay, guys.
How fortuitous. There's a butterfly flying away.
Listen.
Right up this tree as we end this film.
You know, one element to the show we haven't got into yet is the priest, the relationship with the priest. It's one of the first people he meets when he gets the supporting character. Yeah. And, you know, he meets him
right away when he gets
into town with the guy.
Yeah.
The guy looks at him, takes one look, figures out, okay, stranger in a strange land. I think I know what this guy's about.
Oh, that's perfect.
It was an interesting relationship. I don't know how much that worked for me. Didn't bother me. What do you think about this relationship, Hoodie? What did you get out of this?
The first scene you see him, he's looming over Clooney. He's walking through the maze of the town. And then you find out a little bit more about him. You go into, you know, that he's got a bastard son.
Clooney. It's implied.
Implied nothing.
It's brought up.
He brought it up.
Yeah, it's admitted to it.
He rubbed his nose in it, basically.
And the priest was like, we're going to stay away from that subject.
Right. But the thing that brings the priest to the forefront as a main character is that he saw through Clooney without any hesitation right from the get-go. He knew exactly what this character was.
And that's what I liked about this particular relationship is there needed to be one guy in this film who saw through all of it.
And in turn, Clooney figured out the priest.
And he saw through him.
Yeah. So,
oh, yeah, totally.
All right, guys, there you go. That's the conversation right there. We're talking about 2010, The American. And let's talk about our scores. We gave this a possible 50 Cafe Americanos.
Yeah.
Anybody want to change their rating?
Possible 50? No, a definite 49.
Max, I will beat you.
I'm the low man on the totem pole with a 9.
I actually would drop mine down to 9.5, but it rounded back up because of Max's.
Okay, whatever. You gave it a 9, you're going to stick there.
I gave it a 10. No,
you gave it a 10. Gave it a 10. Max, what do you give it?
I'm sticking with a 9.
Question. Max, since you are the statistician, is this our highest rated film?
Yes, it is.
Holy crap. I came into this thinking, okay, I'm going to bear down. I may be the lone survivor with Hoodie and I. I may have to stand the ground with Hoodie. I'm surprised we all went there. This is fantastic. 49 out of 50. Netflix, watch it.
Jeez, 49 out of 50.
We all agree. But you know what, though?
So close, man.
This inspired our top 3 movie prostitutes or... Yeah.
Who was?
Well, they're different.
They're who was.
And there is a difference. But this inspired our top 3 movie prostitutes. We're going to get to that in a minute. Yeah. Stick around. You'll like it. Today's show brought to you by our sponsor, Audible.com. The book is A Very Private Gentleman. I have no doubts at all that you can find that on Audible.com. This is our sponsor. You want to get a free audiobook? You can get this one. You can get The Hobbit. The Virgin, Lean, The Book Thief by Mark Zusak. I might get that one.
Right. The Book Thief by Mark Zusak. How appropriate. You can go on there and get it for free, be a book thief, sign up for a 30-day trial, cancel it, and then you'll be like the audiobook thief.
There you go.
And we're giving you a green light to do that. But here's what you got to do. If you want to get a free audiobook download, easy to do. You go to our website. You get a 30-day free trial, and you also get a free audiobook of your choice. Over 150,000 titles to choose from. Mm-hmm. Put it on your iPhone. Put it on your Android. Put it on your Kindle. Audible.com. QFilmcast.net. You'll see a link in the right-hand corner. All right, you know what this inspired? Our top three.
Whores.
One more time.
Whores.
Matt, give me a whores.
A whores.
Nice.
I'm glad the somebody did it.
Town. All right, man, let's get into this one then. We're going to talk about our top three movie
prostitutes.
Working professionals.
I was on my way to saying it. Prostitutes. I was going to class
of the
it up.
Evening.
Like, not classing up a thing there. Whores.
I like his ladies of the evening. Matter of fact, that's what I'm going to call us for the rest of the evening.
Ladies, all right.
There's some gents that do it too.
Yeah, I think we might have a couple of those shout out here.
Right.
All right, we're going to talk about our top three movie prostitutes or
whores.
Inspired by the film we just reviewed, which is the 2010 film The American, starring George Clooney. And let's get this going with our top threes, beginning with Matt St. Hoodie. What's your number three, man? What you got?
Going with L.A. Confidential, Veronica Lake.
Veronica Lake. And now that's what you call a high class.
Ooh.
The bestest.
All right, way to get it going. So he's coming in to an unclassy situation with a little bit of class. Let's go over to Max Gumbo Johnson. Give me your number three.
Number three? Film Luenell, played by Luenell in Borat.
That is not a high class whore.
No, she is a true to the bone whore. But she was a whore with a heart of gold.
No, she's a comic, right? I mean, is she legitimately a whore?
I don't know. They kind of portrayed her as a legitimate whore. But yeah, I think she is a sort of a comic. But they used her name, Luenell.
All right.
It was kind of funny.
I'm going to say it's a good choice because that is a standout part of that film.
Because she wrote that bull.
Adam, the greatest producer, number three, inspired by the film The American. Top three film prostitutes. What's your number three?
Julie Deppley in Killing Zoe.
Julie Deppley.
Jen Deppley.
Yeah.
Is she related to Julie Delpy?
Delpy, probably.
You caught that and I did not.
I'm pretty sure it's Julie Delpy.
Then we can go with that.
Perhaps I'm wrong.
Julie Delpy, yeah. Okay. Good film, too. Good choice. Good role. Good number three, man.
Yeah. I love
my number
Julie
three.
Deppley.
My number, you know what my number three is? She's not in the running for a high class whore. But you know what, though? She makes a statement. She makes a, she definitely makes a grand entrance, and that is, oh, me so horny.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Iconic.
Iconic, yes, yeah. What I'm talking about.
We should play Two Live Crew at the end of this.
Yeah. That's the one Vietnamese word that Americans know is buku.
Yeah, buku, yeah. Me love you long time.
Tu buku.
We'll see what happens.
How long was she in that movie? 45 seconds?
Maybe.
Right.
Maybe.
Right.
She stole. I mean, that's the thing people remember from that movie.
Yeah.
What do you think she's doing now?
She's probably still a hula.
The only answer I wanted. Thank you. James Hartsup Savage, number three. What's your favorite film prostitute?
I have to give a shout-out to a whole town of hulas. Old Town from Sin City. Those girls handled their business. That was their town. They did their business, and nobody messed with them.
Vengeful prostitutes.
Yeah, Old Town. Old Town.
You're not going to narrow it down, though. You say, like, the whole cast of Sin City.
No. It's Old Town.
Old Town, yeah.
Is that what it was called? Old Town?
Old Town.
Should have been called Hua Town.
All right. Well, that's a good choice, man. That works for me, man. Hoodie, we're rounding over to you with your number two. What is it?
I'm going Alabama, A True Romance.
Ooh.
Yeah. Alabama.
Alabama.
How's Alabama?
Alabama.
Alabama.
She had a heart of gold.
She was a good little thief.
And a good pimp.
Oh, yeah. We should have done pimps, actually. I wish we could. There's your number one right there.
It's not the same. No.
Number two, man.
I can't remember her name. Jamie Lee Curtis in Trading Places.
Yeah, but you don't want to remember her name after
this. It's not about the name.
It's not about the name. It's just about the whoring.
Ophelia. Was her name Ophelia?
I think it was Ophelia.
It was Ophelia.
Yeah, Ophelia. Jamie Ophelia. Lee Curtis. It has nothing to do with me having it written down in front of me either.
You know why she was so good? Because she took in Dan Aykroyd and then let him make all his money back and bankrolled them. That was awesome. What a great whore.
That's a good investment, prostitute.
Yeah. She knew that.
With a mind of gold.
With a mind of gold. Yeah, and usually, what a body.
Usually they suck your money out of your pocket. They don't really return the favor with a good investment.
Young JLC. Whoa. Stuff dreams are made of.
Mature JLC is not so bad either.
She's no True Lies JLC.
Tivia JLC.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's where you turn a corner on JLC when she starts talking about her bowels on TV. Activia.
It's good for the colon.
Yeah, speaking of colons, Adam. Punch it home, buddy. What you got for number two, film prostitute?
My girl, Heather Graham from Hell.
You ever seen that film, Hoodie?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
No.
Simply, you didn't like From Hell?
Nope.
Okay.
I didn't care for it.
We just lost Adam.
Yeah. Heather Graham Crocker.
Heather Graham.
Or Heather Graham and Hangover.
Let me tell you what my number two is. I think you'll appreciate this one. It's Elizabeth Shue from Leaving Las Vegas.
Oh, I was hoping that wouldn't happen.
Oh.
I was hoping that wouldn't happen. That wouldn't happen.
Preserving the purity of the shoe.
You want me to tell you why? Yeah, the shoe dropped, buddy. Let me tell you why. Because she was the girl next door. Whore.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. Savage, what's your number two?
My number two is a twofer. And I gotta give a shout out to the boys. I'm going to River Phoenix and Keanu Reeves in my own private Idaho,
representing the men.
Yeah, a narcoleptic whore.
I know, that's the worst kind of whore. They fall asleep on you.
Hey, what if they all fall asleep on you?
Then I'm not
then
doing my job.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Keanu and River.
Okay. Matt St. Hoodie. It looks like we're up to number one, man. Give it to me. What is it?
I wrote down Jude Law ain't, but I think I'm at AI.
There you go.
Ain't.
Yeah, I auto-corrected to ain't. I don't know.
No, I'd actually say that's a fantastic choice. He carried a lot of that film.
One of my favorite whores.
Did he get paid?
Gigolo Joe.
No, he's not. That's a gigolo. Get it right.
Oh, gosh.
He's just a gigolo.
Then I'm going to go.
That's a prostitute, though. It's fine.
Thank God.
I'm still a prostitute. Yeah, same thing.
I got nothing else.
What about you? What about you, Max? Gumbo, lay it down. I'll pick it up, Johnson.
It may seem obvious. You can't not pick it. Iris, Taxi Driver, Foster.
Yeah. Well,
somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a great whore.
Adam, the greatest producer in the history of this Q film cast, I want you to lay it down.
Take a girl, get her, run her over with a lawnmower, put her back together. Frankenhooker.
No.
Frankenhooker. Is he lying?
No.
There's a film called Frankenhooker.
No, Frankenhooker. Just being Adam.
That's a real movie.
That is a real movie.
Adam. Who made that? Joe Helmentoler?
You actually know that?
Yeah, wow. I've seen Frankenhooker. I'm no dumb.
I've seen it.
I can't believe this.
I just want to know what kind of lawnmower.
It was a crazy looking
Frank
lawnmower.
Helmentoler. Frank Helmentoler made that movie.
Yeah, Frank and Helen Lauder.
Thank you.
Oh,
nicely done.
Do?
So Frankenhooker is Adam's number one.
Basket Case.
Over Heather Graham somehow.
Yeah.
She's a lot of different.
Made Basket Case too, right?
Yeah.
Boom.
Basket Case and Brain Damage.
Okay. But you know what he's doing? He's just putting his signature on it, and I appreciate that.
Okay.
That's the Adam stamp of approval. Here's my number one. You know what it is? I'm going to go with Goldie. I'm going to narrow it down. Goldie from Sin City.
Yeah.
Kill him, Marv. Kill him good. Yeah. Let me tell you why she's my number one.
You should have been cast as her.
Because she she makes you do things.
That's right.
I mean, that's a quality. That's a quality prostitute. Yeah. That's my number one. What's yours?
Of course, it's Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman.
Why'd you go with
that? Of course it is. I mean, we can't have the top whores without talking about
that's
Julia
really
Roberts and Pretty Woman.
It's just awful. What did it teach young girls? You can't be anything unless you're a prostitute.
You can be a pretty woman and a whore and pick up a millionaire and live a dream of a princess.
The way to make it is
don't stomp on their dreams. Don't stomp on their dreams.
The way to make it is to be a prostitute and hope somebody saves you. Yeah. Check this out, guys. Josh DiRocco at Fourth Wall Josh said, John Voight, Midnight Cowboy.
Good cowboy.
Yeah. Joe Buck.
No one said that. I was waiting for someone to drop a deuce, and I hope you know what I'm talking about.
Bigelow?
Yep. And that's what at snob of films. I like Charles Whiteman. Deuce Bigelow for comedic value and Erica from Detachment.
Nope.
Don't know that one. Bored Stormtrooper at OXTK421 said Ophelia. Trading spaces.
Ophelia, places. That's it. Yeah. She's the best of all.
Our buddy over at JT Movie
what
Podcast.
What did JT say?
No, we're talking about Ben Taylor's.
Oh, what does Ben say?
I love this answer. This one gets it for me, man. What about the hooker in Police Academy at the podium? Remember Lassard's face?
Yeah.
I said, well, no, Adam does because he does it he makes that face every single time. There it is.
There it is.
You know?
We need to.
That's the face. Check underneath the table. Quick. Yeah, so Lassard's face and the hooker from Police Academy. Thank you, at Ben Taylorson. At InstaFlicka. Samuel Gales, Erica, and Detachment. Second time that's brought up. Maybe we should watch that.
I have to watch Detachment.
What?
Misty, play Misty for me. A little late here, but can't believe no one said Rebecca De Mornay from Risky Business.
And that's it. Right?
At play Misty number four me. So that's it, man. There's our top three film prostitutes inspired by the film we talked about tonight, right?
That's right.
The American 2010, starring George Clooney and directed by Anton Corbijn. Big reveal. This is going to be an Adam. The greatest producer pick. Give it to me. What you got?
I want to go a little black and white, a little sci-fi. The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Oh, the cool. Day the Earth Stood Still.
Going classic, right? Not classic. Keanu.
Yeah. Classic one, yeah, definitely. I said black and white.
Right, well.
Yeah, he did kind of. He put it out there. Black and white film. Sure. 1951, I do believe, right?
Yeah.
Anybody else seen this?
Yep.
Nope.
Nope. Yep. I know the movie, but it's...
What are you, Beaker over there?
I've seen the piano version. From Sesame Street.
I think we've been ready for an older film. I think we hadn't revisited a film from basically this era or before. Yeah,
learned my lesson.
From So that's this show. Next week is The Day the Earth Stood Still. 1951 is queued up by Adam, the greatest producer. And that's it for now. We'll see you next week when we queue it up and knock it down. The Day the Earth Stood Still. Bye-bye. I'm afraid of a man.